Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Scottish Watches Podcast. It does feel like a really long time since I spoke to you.
It's not long enough, Rick.
It's a bit odd. I feel like for the last...
I don't know, as if we've maybe reached a milestone, maybe.
Did we take a break?
Did we take a Ross and Rachel break?
So who have you been podcasting with while you've not been podcasting with me?
Oh, everybody.
Who have you been unfaithful with?
I have been Instagramming.
I
have been cam-hooring myself out on Instagram Live with people and all sorts of stuff.
So who have you been dilly-dallying
having
with
my wicked
so far?
Way with?
Yep.
Oh, everybody. I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, I've guested on a couple of podcasts. I've done a couple of Instagram Lives. Latest one was with Pietro from Limited Edition just a couple of days ago there. Yeah, I've been running around daft behind your back, Rick. It's just like
That's terrible.
But speaking of things like that, I heard that you're now the number one fan for the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Did you know? You made me listen to that.
Uh-huh.
It's awful. It's absolutely awful.
What's wrong with it?
It's just terrible. They've got no vocabulary.
Run that past me again.
No.
What word was that you tried to use?
Vocabulary.
Uh-huh. The constabulary.
They don't know big words.
Mm-hmm.
You instructed me that I may have not started with their best work because I listened to a recent episode.
Unlike us, you want to start at the beginning with their stuff, not the end. Uh-huh. You never want to go back to episode one with our stuff. So what did you learn?
It's still terrible.
What did you learn?
I learned nothing. I actually feel like I lost things that I knew.
Right.
I felt that there was things I knew at the beginning that I didn't know at the end.
So did you learn what the Glock Glock 9000 is?
It was it was a brain drain. My brain was drained.
Okay.
It's a terrible show. And they make like 70 grand an episode. Or something, or
no.
Did.
They made half a mil last year.
Right, okay. Well, I mean...
We're missing a trick.
Managed to nab about 10 grand's worth of watches.
You have.
That doesn't count. And I've got them all. I've got them all now here. I have ventured off the premises. So I now actually have them in my possession. So I can actually now do reviews of them. Because they've been sitting for 3 months in a safe. But there we go. So... I am going to do my article, which is kind of why it all started off, was that I wanted to get a collection of four watches that would represent a completely off-the-wall collection of stuff you just would never think of, but actually from that, put together a watch you could wear and dressy and a beater watch and all that kind of stuff. So anyway,
No. I know what you were up to. You're wanting to make an article about how to blag four watches from different brands, how much money you would make if you sold them all on eBay, and how much fun you would have spending that money. I know your game.
Yeah, that does sound like a better article than the one I was going to write, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let's do that then.
Right,
let's
cool.
do that. Anywho, so
10,000.
It has actually been quite
10,000.
Busy. Yeah, well, so we did get 10,000 Instagram. We've now got the wee swipey uppy thing.
We have. And you couldn't figure out how to use it, so I had to go in and use it
for
you.
Well, it's not actually terrible. Well, no, it's not terribly intuitive.
Yes,
I was expecting to see a thing that said that you could go to the wee like stories bit, push a button and it just had the swipey up symbol, but instead you need to go to a link. For some reason, I think it was because I needed to refresh the whole thing. It was only giving me a link to IGTV. It wasn't giving me a link to websites, so that all had to be. But I know how to use it now.
Yeah, and we tried to do a giveaway.
No. Let's see. You accused me of being the weakest link when
you
it came to
the
technology.
Link. See, the technology always works. It works too well when I use it.
Warned you that when you try to do live draws and anything, it doesn't work.
It did work fine.
Just keep them. You're picking yourself and just taking the consequences. But what did you end up doing? You ended up picking Omer.
I didn't pick. The internet picked Omer.
The machine, the man.
Yes. So Omer got picked and he won. He won even though he didn't enter the competition. So we did a giveaway in association with Martins of Glasgow. He had found some new old stock Swatch watches at the back of a cupboard. They hadn't been near in about 20 odd years and found during lockdown. So we did a giveaway and the competition was basically help us by recommending a couple of friends follow the page. Once we get to 10,000, we'll do a live draw to show there's no funny business. We did the live draw. He was in there. Martin was in there with us. And then funny business happened three times. So what we did was we did a live draw in front of everybody on Instagram Live. And it went through and it was churning through all the details. And it picked up Omer, humping jalapeno. And I looked at it and I thought, brilliant, that is good. That is somebody from the UK, because that was the only stipulation was Martin wanted to send within the UK because it's a pain in the arse customs, yada, yada. People were still pissed off about that, even though it said it in the original post, and we don't get pissed off when all these American companies do giveaways that are only for US residents only. Anyway, so Omer won. I was so blown away with the fact that somebody we knew, somebody that helps out with the website, the guy that does Half Watch Tuesday, that I thought, brilliant, it's a UK person.
Is he really only Quarter Watch Tuesday because he's half of Half Watch Tuesday? Does that make him a quarter watch?
0.25.
0.25, okay.
He's a fraction. He won, so we thought, and I was so overjoyed and elated the fact somebody from the UK was picked first out of everybody that sort of follows us. I didn't even read the little comment that he'd written. He hadn't entered the competition. He was taking the piss out of the competition, as he does.
Absolutely.
So, didn't even spot that, but just to show we weren't taking a piss, I clicked the same button a couple of times to show different names would come up. And when we got in touch with Mary, he says, well, actually, I was just taking a piss at you guys like I do daily. So I'm not really eligible. Give it to the next person. Next person turned out to be American. The third person we drew was American. So we're going to redraw it again, and we're going to keep slamming that button until we find somebody from the UK and they will get it.
Listen, can I just suggest that what you need here is you need a bit of the old Rick TikTok magic. I will take the Instagram post, I will print out the entire Instagram post, I will then cut the individual sections out of everybody's comments that qualify, I will put them in a hat and I will draw one of them, and that will be the winner. That would be much easier. Mm-hmm. Ignore the technology, what you need is a photocopier and a pair of scissors. Simples.
Have you not got a tombola?
A tombola? Do I have a tombola? I could put them in the washing machine.
Good idea. Along with all your pound notes. So anyway, apart from that hilarious disaster.
What was the watch, by the way?
It was one of the 14 watches that he found. I mean, if I had 14 brand new watches sitting in a safe or a cupboard somewhere, I'd probably know about it. So there's a various different ones that you can pick from. So lots of different Swatch watches, some quartz, some automatic, chronographs, blah, blah, blah.
Do we get to give away one for every 1,000 people that we get on Instagram?
No, we do not. We get one to give away and we mess that up. Oh, okay. But anyway, what have you been up to, Rick? Okay. Because it's been an interesting couple of weeks. We've had lots of interview shows and things that we've had sitting, and we've just battled through them all. We've had the mini-series with A Blog to Watch. It's going great. Episode 3 went out the day we're recording this, which is Friday the 26th, and already we're getting questions in, so you can tell people about how to get questions to us.
Yes, so easiest way to get questions in that we 100% see, because Instagram's a terrible form of personal communication, is go to the website, and on the website, go to the article for the show notes done by yours truly and put a comment at the bottom of the show notes. That way, we will definitely see it. Either that or email rick@scottishwatches.co.uk at your question for Ariel. Because let's face it, it's going to be Ariel that answers it. Me and you ain't good answering these questions. For episode 4, which we will be recording in the next, so it'll be in the next 6 or 7 days. So you've got a few days, get a question in, and we'll feature you on that show. The other thing you could do is we might try and broaden the technology and actually record you asking the question, and then we'll drop the insert in. It depends whether your question's any good and short. If you make your question funny, then that's also qualifies you. Mm-hmm. Oh, talking of funny, we've got a couple of funny reviews. Have you seen our latest reviews?
Yes.
People have been going to their iTunes or Spotifications or whatever it is that they listen to us on and actually leaving reviews. So
I accidentally told somebody they could go and listen to our podcast on Spotify. I must have been listening to Call Her Daddy too much.
Well, the way in a similar theme, this one came in, and it's like listening to a conversation between Victor Meldrew and Johnny Sins. I'm guessing.
Do you know who Johnny Sins is?
Yes, because you've told me many times on this show.
Right.
A fantastic podcast covering everything. Scottish Watches is what. So they're particularly bigging up our film section, which is called Scottish Watches.
See, there's a little bit of a debate here, because I thought Scottish Watches was the actual watch content in the podcast.
No. Scottish Watches is the film and TV content in the podcast.
Okay, I didn't get the memo.
Oh, I saw a good one today that features, I'm sure it's an Omega Speedmaster.
Rick.
Sorry. We'll come back to the light. Anyway, this is from Michael Crichton 93. So very good. Yeah, so he likes it. Also, we've got a Corona Proof. These guys are the Seinfeld.
You didn't read the review, you read the headline.
Oh, no, a fantastic podcast covering everything in watches and plenty more besides. Scottish Watches Watches is one of the best segments, so look out for that. Two hosts who seem to actually try to enjoy the hobby rather than just be salesmen. Yeah, we do a bit of salesman stuff. Unlike some other watch media I could name, never mind Fiji, Fennec is where it's at.
Don't know where you stay.
Not quite. It's close, but no cigar.
Do you know this guy?
So, Michael Crichton, 93.
Mm-hmm.
No, because I'm assuming they're taking the name of a well-known author.
Right.
Do you know who it is?
No.
No? Okay, then. Anyway, Corona Proof.
That's one of the reviews I didn't write, Rick.
These guys are the Seinfeld of Watch Talk. Great show about nothing. From brisket and ribs in the United States.
Accurate. Yep.
So that's good. So, and apparently from somebody in Germany, J. Lee, 76... Keep it going as you do, but do not take it so easy. On the Tennessee ladies, cheers from Hamburg.
Oh, somebody noticed that we've been nice to them recently.
Had they?
Ah.
Oh, well, we've got to put that to
stop. Can't get anything past those Germans.
Yeah, so...
Just don't mention the war.
Just don't mention the war. Yeah. It's the French you can't... No, actually, you can get plenty past the French. Just hold your hands up. Anyway, go leave us a review and we might read it out if it's funny.
So we don't lose everybody. Let's actually do a quick watch thing just to keep people hooked and interested. I've learned this kind of stuff. I've been doing research.
Go on. Oh, that's good. So, good.
Did you see the new Citizen Eco Drive from Patek?
And there goes our... Do you realise that we put that Instagram post out the same day that Patek approved me access to their press and media room?
How quickly are they going to deactivate that login?
Feeling fairly soon, especially as there's an article still to run about how Patek's media really let them down in the same way that AP's 1159 launch also let it down. And if I just say that it's written by Edwin, you'll know that it's going to be fairly cutting. So look out for that coming to the website soon.
What do you think of that amazing entry-level timepiece? With the blue waffle dial?
It wasn't great, to be fair. I mean, I agree with what Edwin
scene,
will say in this article.
Set the scene.
Well, the scene is that it's a $28,000 mm-hmm. watch.
In
steel.
Mm-hmm. To pay for what?
It has to pay for a building.
Correct.
That they built. It has that kind of feel. It feels a bit Omega Aquaterra to me.
Right.
As well as looking like a Citizen Eco Drive.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not paying $20,000 for it anyway, but I'm certainly not paying $20,000 for that.
Doesn't even come in a bracelet.
It's an odd one. There's no doubt about it. I just don't really know. It's just one of, it's a, you know what it is? It's a meh watch. New Patek? Meh. Who buys these things?
People trying to get Nautili at retail.
You think that's what it is? This is the step. It's a step ladder.
It is. I can't get my head around this, right? Let's have a quick Ricky rant section here. So there's all these people that want to buy a Daytona in steel at retail. Mm-hmm. They want to have that, whatever it is, 10 grand UK retail experience. Mm-hmm. But in order to do so, and in order to avoid spending maybe 17 to 20 on one on the grey market or used, they will spend XYZ on other pieces or jewellery or gold watches, and they maybe spend £100,000-£150,000 on stuff to enable them to buy a 10 grand watch at 10 grand. Would it not make more sense just to spend the 20k?
Yes,
and then when you're done with it, sell it for 20k again, because the prices don't seem to have fallen down at all.
Yeah, so I think, yes, especially if you're not going to really wear the other watch. If it's, you know, if you don't actually really want a Rolex Day-Date,
mm-hmm.
then you're certainly not going to want three of them that you're going to have to buy before you get on the Daytona list.
Yeah.
Just go and, if that's the life you want to lead, just go and buy the Daytona for above list. Yeah. I know that Ariel had a big rant
us for saying this.
On this morning's episode about the morality of buying above list, but really, if what you're going to do is give more money to Rolex by buying three watches you don't want just to buy a watch that Rolex have already made their money on, then, you know, stick it to the man and just buy the Rolex used that you actually want, the Daytona. There we go. So yeah, it's an odd one.
Can't get my head around it. Same with the Pateks.
It has. Yeah, I mean, I do like Pateks. Yes,
I like that. One of my.
I've tried one on not that long ago, and yes, it is a lovely watch. The Aquanauts and the Nautilus, well, not so much the Aquanaut, but the Nautilus, they feel too thin to me.
Mm-hmm.
They lack heft. I need heft.
Try losing weight.
Oh, I've lost weight. I've lost nearly a stone.
What are you down to now?
Well, I was carrying rocks in my pockets, so that was really what the problem was. Ba-boom-tsh. Just under 19.
Are you kidding? So
it was important to get a 2 off the scales.
How tall are you?
Struggling. I'm 6'4".
I'm detecting ill truths here.
You think?
I think.
Anyway, so...
What was the name of your first pet?
Tyson. the Patek I like is the regulator.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the 5325? No, it's not the 5325. Whatever it is, Patek regulator.
Telephone Archie and ask.
That's a cool watch. Is available for below list and is holding its money at the below list price. The 5235G is holding its money at below list.
Mm-hmm.
So to my mind, if you bought one of these now, if you had 23 grand or whatever they are at the moment, they're about 25, 26, then that's going to stick around that level. And you never know, it might go up a bit with inflation, etc. Mm-hmm. But that is a cool Patek. That's a Patek I want somebody to buy me.
I liked the orange Aquanaut when it came out, because the green one, it was a bit grenade-like, and then the orange one, and it was pretty cool. Normal Nautilus doesn't really faze me one way or the other. Wouldn't really one, but if Patek listen and, you know, they're feeling generous and whatnot, and they've had a good year, then, yeah, I can always do a 10 years on the wrist with a Patek. Wouldn't say no.
Yeah.
Well, we have some good news.
Uh-huh.
I was a bit of a charitable person the last week. You know, hitting the 10,000 mark on Instagram, and if you guys haven't followed us on Instagram, then we're trying to get to 11,000, so get on there and follow us. But I reposted an image from the Art of Horology, which is a couple of people down south that are fantastic at creating artwork based on timepieces, and last year they came to our attention and were very nice and sent us some drawings of our favourite watches. At the time we made a joke because they sent us one poster print of our favourite watches together, and I didn't know if we were going to have shared custody and which week I would be having the poster in my house and you would have it in yours, so they sent us another one, we had two. So I reposted an image they had drawn of a Speedmaster and said, look at this is great. And obviously somebody from Scotland asked if there was a discount code, because you know what we're like up here, and I said, sure there is, jump on and use the discount code IronBrew69 and you'll get 10% off. Hilarity ensued until the company got in touch and said, actually, we've gone on there and we've created a discount code, so if you do type in IronBrew69, you will get 10% off. How's that?
Yes, very good, very funny. They are quite funny guys, to be fair to them.
Honorary Scottish people.
They know how to take a joke, so that's good. So well done. So if you're interested in having a look, then go and have a look at Art of Horology. The stuff is really good.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking about a Blue Tudor. We kind of mentioned it and shoehorned it into our Miles episode, because obviously that was about their brand. But we can talk a little bit more about that. So we're on the 26th, and this is coming out on July the 1st. Quite a number of people have got in touch with it to say that they've actually been to speak to ADs, and it is 100%, although there's one AD that's a big AD that keeps telling me that they know nothing about it, when I know fine well they're lying through their teeth.
Well, I now have 2 photos of the actual watch. I have seen the actual watch because it has been sent in from an AD who already has them.
Which one was that?
Which AD?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Tell me and I'll bleep out.
No, I can't tell you that. It's on the WhatsApp group.
Oh, is it? Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. So
we
already have
telling
two...
me that people should be paying us money to be in our WhatsApp group for a day. Are we playing that old game?
Yes, if you want to see what this watch looks like, you can jump into our WhatsApp group and see it, because we have photos. So shall I describe it to you?
Yes, go for it. Should we get a child's drawing of it up on our Instagram?
Yeah, it's a blue Black Bay 58.
Mm-hmm. Does it get gilt?
No, right. I do not believe it does. There is surround edges on the numerals and the hands. It doesn't look like it's not heavy gilt if it is. Run, I've got another photo here. I would say it looks like there might be gilt on the hands. Might just be the way the light is, but it just looks like a blue Black Bay 58. There's nothing much to say about it. It's the same kind of blue as is on the GMT.
You think?
Black Bay GMT. I would say it's pretty close to it. I don't have that watch in front of me. It's nothing. It's not Pelagos blue.
No, it's not plastic blue.
It's blue. It's a kind of dark. You know what it is? It's Scottish
watches blue.
Watches blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we calling it then? It's the... Because Casio's now being used. Did you hear... So Hodinkee were raging about the Casio.
Why?
On the latest, because somebody was talking about picking it. So everybody's now referring it as the Casio, except for Casio. So we'll get that sorted out.
No, they kind of are. The guys.
Well, leader. Some of them are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them are. So what we call this, so the SWBB, it doesn't really ring, come off the tongue quite as well. But it is, it's Scottish Watches Blue, basically. So if you want to know what colour blue it is, go to the Scottish Watches website.
It's on the Tudor GMT bracelet as well. With the
rivets. Tudor GMT bracelet. I've not seen the back, so I don't know what the clasp is like.
No date. Snowflake hands. Aluminium bezel. Looks all right, I suppose.
It looks fine. I mean,
was
it's
coming
a
in at
about 58.
1,800 quid?
No, 1,800 quid. Your foot is about $3,000.
Is it?
I think so. Hold on. I've got one of the...
Hold on. No, if I spin it round, it's 3,180 euros.
Yes. So, it's not cheap. They'll sell a shed load of them. Do you think Tudor have got a new building that they need to pay for as well? They just haven't told us about it.
Maybe not. Who knows?
Executive car park. So, yeah, this is coming, despite what anybody's telling you. People have been ordering it. We've had about 10 people tell us that they've placed orders for this and had money taken off of them. And mm-hmm. we now have actual photos of it, which we're not allowed to share. But they basically look like the photo we already shared, which is from about three years ago. So it just shows you.
So the watchmaking process over at Tudor is basically walk into the room where the machines are that make the dials and the mm-hmm. bezels and change the ink. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's like they've just gone out and bought a different cartridge.
Exactly. What they did was they changed out the black cartridge for the cyan cartridge and left. Ta-da! New watch.
Basically. I mean, a license to print money or what?
Yeah,
and
great
they've
idea.
Even removed the they've even removed the date.
Just in case. Yeah, exactly. Just in case.
It'll be interesting to see. Well, hold on, let me just check and see if in the photo I've got the bezel lines up. Looks lined up-ish. It's a bit of a different... Well,
it looks like there used to be a date mechanism window there and they've just boarded it up.
Have they used that like Patek centre of that new Patek as a kind of boarded up stuff?
Yep. Hurry Brothers.
Yep, okay.
Yep.
So there we go.
So there's some good news.
Black bezel
some good
way.
News.
Yeah.
As much
you
as it was going to be no new
Tudors,
no new Rolexes yeah. this year, yeah. there is a new
Tudor. Or new Pateks. I thought Patek had also said they weren't releasing anything new. It
yeah,
turns
but
out
then
they lied.
Then they had a work experience guy in and when they were emptying his drawers out, they found that. So that was that. But from good news to bad news to possibly very mm-hmm. good news, our friends mm-hmm. over at Harage. They have been having an interesting
yes.
time of it, and you obviously know more about this because you're nosy, so fill the good people
yes.
in.
Yes. So as you know, Haraj, who we've had on the show a couple of times and done video with and all the rest of it.
We've never had them on the show,
Instagram
Rick.
Instagram wives. Have we not? Have we not had...
No.
Have we not had Landon? Have we not had Landon on?
No.
Haven't we?
No.
Have I just spoken to him lots? It feels just, like he's been on the show.
Yeah. Did you stay with him? You think he's on the show?
Yeah, yeah, okay. It's because I've got his watch. What I've never told you is that he came with the watch.
He came?
Shut it. So, Haraj, I've got this Tourbillon, which we've covered. It was in partnership with...
Le Jeu Perret.
That's the bit I was going to get wrong.
And Pepe Le Pew.
The... So that was all going swimmingly. They'd launched it. Orders were being placed with Haraj. And then, basically, to cut a long story short, Haraj were getting ready to hand over the money and the orders. And they wanted some stuff adjusted in the Tourbillon movement.
They wanted stuff fixed.
Tourbillon. They wanted a fix, basically. They wanted stuff that they had identified wasn't quite as good as it could be, sorted. And it appears that all dummies were then thrown out the pram. And the new CEO... of Le Jeu Perret decided, well, we're just not going to sell you Tourbillons. Now, I'm not sure whether he thought the reaction to that would be, oh, please, Mr. Le Jeu Perret, please don't not sell us your Tourbillons. We'll do anything for you. Here, have some more money. Here, we'll say this, that, and the next thing. Unfortunately, the new guy clearly doesn't know Andy very well because Andy's response to most things when you say you can't do that is...
Yeah.
Says who? So they very quickly sat down with their own engineers and I believe the former CEO and designers of Le Jeu Perret who are now working for Haraj and says, okay, well, if they're not going to sell us one because they won't let us improve it, and I think this is the Tourbillon that goes in Jacob & Co., and also in that Zealous watch that's released. Yep. Although speaking to the Zealous guys, they've already got delivery of, I think it was 20 or so.
Yeah, they got them last year, they said. So they'd bought stock of the movement that might require some fettling.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what will happen to that. But anyway, so basically our eyes have decided, well, we'll just make our own. So yes, they've pushed the delivery date back, but not significantly, still this year. And they're in the process of making their own in-house tourbillon. As I understand it, the plan is still to sell it for around about the same price. So those that have put deposits down are in a good position. And effectively, this will mean that Horage, sometime next year, will have the K1 movement, which is their own in-house movement. Mm-hmm. They will have a tourbillon movement, which is their own and in-house. And they'll also have the K2 movement, which, if I remember correctly, I want to say is a micro-rotor movement.
Yeah. As.
So pretty much, and they will be selling these things at reasonable prices in consideration to everybody else.
Yep, I'll jump in and fill in some gaps. Everything you've said is correct, but for people that are listening saying, oh, right, okay, there's a delay of 3 months and they're going to create their own tourbillon in 3 months, that sounds a little bit far-fetched. Well, not really, because bear in mind that these tourbillon things were created a couple of hundred years ago by people in sheds. So as much as we like to think it is a very intricate and detailed process, which it is, so is making a complete new movement yourself. And reading between the lines, the one they were getting from the previous company seemed to be a bit of a hodgepodge of ETA, Vacheron and other bits and pieces and ideas kind of thrown into a cauldron and mixed together. Whereas when Horage have been designing their K1 and obviously the K2 just now, they have taken a lot of new ideas, new thought processes to roll them into their movement. That's why they're getting bigger power reserves, etc., etc., different date wheels. So to go from all the knowledge they've learned from that, apply it to a new tourbillon, it isn't going to be as big a deal as maybe some people had thought, because they've already done all the heavy lifting and all the hard work. And if they've taken the brains from Le Jupere that have been working on this Caden movement for a while, it's like a race team acquiring people from other race teams and suddenly being high flyers. So I'm looking forward to this. It keeps everything in-house a little bit more as well.
Yeah.
And it means you're getting a better product. What they've said is the power reserve is going to increase because they've made the cage and the components even lighter than before, so it's not going to have the same gravitational forces applied to it, causing, you know, not wear, but drain on the powertrain. So looking forward to that one. We are going to have the guys on for a podcast sooner rather than later. We're going to have it just before they were going to release this watch. That's obviously been delayed slightly, so we're going to bring them on, get them to talk about things and get everyone G'd up. But it means that customers are going to be paying the same price, get a better product, better power reserve, and as Andy and Landon were saying to me, whereas if they had bought the current edition that they were purporting to bring out and there was an issue down the line, then they would be held accountable to getting parts from Le Jupere. Whereas if everything is completely in-house, then if there's any servicing issues, components years down the line needing replaced, they're going to have them to hand. So everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
Apart from Le Jupere.
I think apart from Le Jupere. And the issue here, I mean, who knows what Le Jupere's motivation was in cancelling this. But this may have, for them, have opened up a bit of a can of worms, because if they've now suddenly got this company that can produce what they can do, it's got a better power reserve and they're willing to sell it to other people, you can be sure that Le Jupere will not be getting the orders from the likes of Zealous and others who are looking to produce these kind of watches. It'll be going to Horage. So, yep, shot themselves in their foot by the looks of it.
And a bit of a PR disaster as well, because I think, like you mentioned earlier, maybe they thought that the little guy would sort of buckle under the pressure and come crawling, and that's not happened, and now there's a bit of a stink because, well, the skeletons are falling out of the closet.
I mean, Le Jupere is owned by Citizen, so it'll be interesting to know if the Japanese, I suspect the Japanese parent company probably knows very little about what's going on in this, but you never know. I don't know what Le Jupere actually do for Citizen, or whether it's just
send money,
something that they want to, it's probably something they want to just own and add it to their stable of what they do. There we go. So, yeah, interesting story.
Do you know that we have a Facebook group, Rick?
We do.
Do you know that there's about 1,500 people in there?
There are.
Do you know that people ask questions?
Occasionally.
Yeah. So let's just pick one of the questions I saw in the last few days. Now, when you go in there, word of warning, expect what you hear in the podcast. It's filled with fun, frolicking and laughter, but there's also a little bit of watch content as well. So somebody asked a question, advice needed, I'm going to buy, in my wage bracket, my first major watch. It's either a Breitling Avenger 2 or a Tudor Black Bay bracelet, not 58, and favouring the BB due to servicing intervals and costs. Both come with a 10% discount, but the Breitling comes with a free winder. What are your suggestions and advice? What would you say?
Not to,
apart from don't use the winder, sell that immediately.
Don't use the winder. No. Between a Breitling and a Tudor.
Well, since you don't know the answer to that, my answer was buy what you like the look of most. If you can afford both, they're sort of in the same area. I mean, they're both brands everybody's heard of, pretty much. Maybe Joe Public's heard of Breitling more. Residual-wise, which we don't like to talk about because Ariel will fall out with us again, you probably want to keep a hold of the Tudor because it might bring you more money on the secondary market if you decide to sell because things hit the wall. But I would always say buy what you can afford that you like the look of best because it's a visual thing. They're both going to tell the time pretty accurately and it's a case of looking at your wrist and what brings you joy. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, I think my recommendation would be you should try and get more than 10%. Well, no, you should get more than 10% off of it though.
Well, off a Tudor?
Off of a Breitling. Mm-hmm. I'd be aiming for 20% and a watch winder. Sell the watch winder and that'll pay for...
Buy the Breitling, try and get 20% off, and get them to include a free Tudor Blackbay, and then sell the Breitling.
And, yeah, what else should you also ask for when you... Also, make sure they give you cleaning cloths. Make sure they give you plenty of cleaning cloths. If they also sell Rolex, get a Rolex magazine, because they're worth something on eBay.
Oh, okay.
So try and pick up some magazines and brochures. So Breitling Avenger 2. Is that part of the Marvel Universe? Avenger 2.
Yeah. It's got Infinity Stones on the dial, that one.
Is that right? So is he comparing a chronograph to a straight three-hander?
Maybe.
The Breitlings are nice. And they're bigger, I think. Because between me, if money was no object, I think I'd go for the Breitling, to be honest.
Would you?
More options in terms of picking colours and finishes. Certainly more of a palette of choice.
I'd probably go Tudor then.
So let's just do the opposite because that answers...
Hold on a minute, Rick. Are we playing this game again where you say you absolutely love and adore Breitling and they're the best thing in the world and you love them and you don't have one?
I don't. That's correct.
Brilliant.
I would severely like to own a Breitling.
Hint, hint.
But Breitling. I don't. Yeah, Breitling. I'll be like is it Scarlett Johansson? And the guy that plays the baddie in Star Wars and thingy that was married to Angelina Jolie. And me as their other...
Scarlett Johansson?
Rep. Is it Scarlett Johansson?
No, it is not.
Who is it?
It's somebody else. I'm not going to tell you. She is blonde. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
She
was in the Italian Job with Handsome Rob. Not the Handsome Rob we know. The other Handsome Rob that we named him after. Cherise Theron.
Right, okay. Who's Scarlett? Did I just make that name up? Is that an actual person?
She's in the Avengers. So there is a small link. She's Black Widow in the Avengers.
So... Can we go on to Scottish Watches then?
No, because we're going to tell people about a new thing that we've got.
Okay.
Right? Now, it's a new old thing. It's like new old stock, right?
Yeah.
For forever and a day on our website, we've had lots of things that you need to put on websites, like an About Us, which we need to update because it's 2 years out of date, and we've got a contact form. We've also got a mailing list that we'd ask people to join and we would not spam them. And we have stuck to our word. We have never utilised our mailing list for anything, good or bad. So
that day ends today.
Yes. If you have signed up, you're in trouble. But no, we are going to be doing, hopefully, a weekly, potentially every second week mail out, which will cover basically all the new stuff that's been happening. So it will cover new articles that we've got on the website because our writers group are just going nuts with stuff at the moment. It's fantastic to see this. I'm actually dipping in and out of the WhatsApp group more now than I ever have been, even though there's like hundreds of messages every day. But one of the guys in there, don't know if he wants us to name who it is, but if he does, we will mention a future episode. One of the guys in there has taken the reins of the mailing list and he's going to help us put that together. And it'll just basically recount all the new stories that have been out, new releases, talk about what we're doing on the podcast, on the video side of things. And it means in your inbox every week or every couple of weeks, you're just going to get a summary of things. And if you like the looks of anything, you can just click straight on it and go straight and read stuff. So if you've not already signed up for that, jump on the website, look for mailing list, put your details in, click join, and you're away to the races. And we should also be putting some competitions in there, giveaways and other bits and pieces. And if there's any sort of meetups and news happening as the country kind of comes out of lockdown a little bit, here's keeping our fingers crossed, then there'll be details in there as well of Scottish Watches meetups, Red Bar events, watch shows, fairs, etc.
Well, I have, talking of meetups and things, here's a meetup that's not happening, which I think most folk know is not happening, but there's been a bit of argy-bargy in the background. This is a London Watch show.
Oh, is that the one that was supposed to happen in April?
That was the one that was supposed to happen. Was it April? I can't actually remember when the original date was, but it was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were getting some messages about people not getting refunds.
Is it Paige and Cooper that runs us?
No, Paige and Cooper, at the same time, I was going to come on to that, have also gone bust. So if you're wondering where the watch is that you ordered from Page & Cooper is, a year ago, it ain't going to arrive. So I would get on to the website and find out who the administrator is, or onto your credit card company, and get your money back. And I would also watch out for them reappearing in some way, shape or form.
Did you not do a company's house check on the directors and founded another company, or was that someone else?
I don't think it was me, but they have the Jonathan, who was the person, did try and get into our Facebook group, or somebody who sounded a lot like him tried to get into our Facebook group as another organization, which right. When you looked at its Instagram account, was also gearing up to sell watches. So that was that. Anyway, so I reached out to the London Watch Show.
Should we tell stories about what we heard about Page & Cooper, or should we keep that quiet?
Well, shall we just say that we filmed some video with some people that we had already filmed some video with, on the basis that if they didn't get the money that was owed to them by said company, they had a really well-produced video segment that was going to tell the world about it.
Yep.
And we also had somebody else that we speak to fairly regularly on the show, who also was at one stage owed money by Page & Cooper.
So that's two brands that we deal with, and we knew of another three brands that were like, where's our money for our watches that you've been selling?
Exactly. They were, I don't know if the phrase is a correct phrase, drop shipping, whereby you advertise a watch as if you have it in stock.
No, it's not drop shipping.
What is it?
Dropshipping is where you advertise something and then somebody buys it and you basically pass the order to the supplier and they send it. Now, what we'd heard, allegedly, was that people were buying watches, going onto the website after seeing adverts or whatever, buying a watch, nothing happens for 2 weeks, then they inquire, then they were told, oh, yeah, we did have one in and it just went, so we've had to place an order with the manufacturer and yours will be here in a couple of weeks. Another 2 weeks comes along, next excuse generator kicked in, so on and so forth for 6 months, and then finally, potentially, refund.
There was a lot of dead grannies at the end of it, that's all I can say.
Pet goldfish is dying and all that.
Anyway, so London Watch Show. So we had had some...
Correspondence
suggesting that people hadn't been getting their money back. So we reached out to the London Watch Show, mm-hmm. and I got a response from a Sinead Bryan, whoever that is, in relation to it. So saying, you understand, we'd like to know the process of our upcoming show. So due to the pandemic, we had to reschedule the London Watch Show. As you can imagine, it was out of our control and unprecedented circumstances. That's fine. We're unable to offer refunds, therefore.
Come again?
Yeah, exactly. We have informed all of our customers that have purchased tickets that their tickets will be valid for the upcoming show.
Hold on, is this Baselworld UK?
And if they are unable to make the upcoming show, the tickets will always be valid until they use them. We will be holding two shows each year so our ticket holders can experience the show in the upcoming future. As I stated, this is completely out with our hands. Hope you understand. So, okay, kind of an okay excuse, but I emailed them because that raised a couple of questions and I've not heard back from them. So, first of all, my first question was, well, why can't, you know, you said therefore, we can't, well, why? What is it therefore? There's no therefore. There's a pandemic. Why does that mean you can't offer refunds? So I asked for an explanation of refunds. No answer. I've then asked for, well, how many tickets have actually been pre-sold? No answer. Now, the reason for asking how many tickets have been pre-sold is if they're saying that you can take your pre-sold ticket and use it at the next event, it's a hotel accommodation, so it has a limit, it has a capacity. I seem to recall the capacity was about 1,500
okay.
or 3,000 or something like that. It was mentioned somewhere, I can't find, but there is a capacity because it's a exhibition centre within a hotel complex. Now, if they pre-sold, let's say, half of those tickets, then they can obviously only sell half the number again for the next show that they do. Otherwise, they could have all of the people turning up that bought the tickets before, if they sold all the tickets again, and not be allowed in because the venue's at its capacity. But they also...
That's maybe not how that works, because you can click people in and out.
Yeah, but I mean, yes. But the point is that they take that view with the ticket. So if they've pre-sold quite a large number of tickets. They obviously have to take cognizance of that when it comes to how many tickets are they going to sell for the next one, mm-hmm. on the basis that every ticket they sell, the person's going to turn up. And obviously, factor into that, that you're still likely to have some degree of social distancing possibly next year for these kind of shows. So presumably the capacity is actually going to be decreased. So is there not a risk that they've sold as many tickets already as actually is now the capacity for the show next year?
Rick, have you ever heard of airlines?
Mm-hmm. Where they oversell the tickets.
Uh-huh.
Yes, but this all comes to how many tickets are they pre-sold. If they've only pre-sold 20 tickets and the venue has a capacity of 5,000, fair enough. But if they've actually pre-sold half the tickets, that's different to just getting bumped off your airplane because Joe Bloggs decided to turn up for his flight rather than stay in his hotel room drinking the minibar.
I can see the point in the distance.
I've not heard any answer, and that was some weeks ago. So London Watch Show, I said I would mention this, I think, or at least indicated that...
Rick, I don't give a flying fuck about this. I want to know why they can't just give you a refund.
Well, true. Why can't they just refund it? Have they spent all the money on something that we're unaware of? Did they have to pay a deposit for the venue?
Doesn't matter.
That should be from the organiser.
When have you ever heard of an event where it has been cancelled due to whatever and people haven't had their refunds unless they've done a midnight flitting? That doesn't happen. Because if you run a show, you should have different things in place. You should always have your insurances, your indemnity cover, blah blah, public liability, and you should also have show abandonment cover. Which means if for some particular reason, because I work with different shows up here in Scotland and I know a few people that had events scheduled in for like the Royal Highland Centre over in Edinburgh and Ingolston, and they've had to invoke different things to get money. And obviously in Glasgow there's some hoo-ha about people taking out cover for infectious diseases and have not been paid out, blah, blah, blah. But giving people refunds for an event that hasn't happened yet where they're not going to be paying the full amount or anything perhaps for the venue hire, what's the issue? That would be my concern.
So my next question, which is to the audience out there, is if you've got one of these tickets, get in touch. But also, if you were an exhibitor, because we haven't heard from any exhibitors as to whether they're out of pocket, mm-hmm. if you were going to exhibit at this event, then do get in touch. I'd be interested to know as to what's happening there.
You know how we were quite popular in Fiji? Did you notice that recently we've been quite popular in New Zealand and Malaysia?
I think there's a bug going around.
Yeah, you may have heard of it, Rick, but that doesn't explain why we're super popular in the iTunes charts over in those places.
Yeah, it's all quite interesting.
Am I right in saying it was actually number one in New Zealand uh-huh. and number one in Malaysia in the iTunes charts?
Yeah, and we're big in Bulgaria this week. Number one in Bulgaria.
Bloody hell.
The Bulgars love their watches. These charts don't really reflect reality, I don't think.
Yes, they do, Rick. Don't spoil it for me.
You're not going to arrive at an airport in Sofia and get a rock star's welcome because you're number one in the podcast charts in Bulgaria.
Well, podcast charts for hobbies, not the entire podcast charts.
Well, no, to be fair, in Fiji, it was all podcasts.
All podcasts.
We were like number seven or something. So, all good stuff anyway.
Well, speaking of like New Zealand and places down under, a couple of little quick stories. I don't know if I want to tell this story, but our good friend Jody from Just One More Watch, uh-huh. great YouTube channel, right. friend of the show, has been on a couple of times before. He was telling me that he's got an affiliate system. So when he does reviews and people like what they see, they can click on a link in the description to be taken to Amazon, to AliExpress or wherever. And if they purchase a watch, then he gets a fractional amount, 2%, 5% of the amount that helps him cover his costs and his time. Because making videos takes a bloody long time. And he's churning out, I don't know, I think it's probably two or three a week at the moment. Plus he's got his day job that's come back online and various other things. So he was telling us that the way these affiliate systems work is when you click on that link, it registers with that website your code. And if you buy anything from that website, Amazon, AliExpress, etc., within a 24-hour period, then he will get that percentage. So if you were to buy toothpaste from Amazon using his code after you'd looked at a watch, he would get a percentage. But for mm-hmm. some reason, AliExpress shares data of what the customer has bought. And AliExpress...
Oh, that can only go badly wrong.
AliExpress don't just sell dollar dazzlers and sterling shitters and all those kind of things. They don't just sell cheap watches. Turns out they sell silicone sex dolls. And somebody spent $1,000 buying a sex doll, and he's making a commission on that.
You're sure this isn't Jody just trying to cover his own tracks and getting us to do it for him?
No, I don't think so, because he sent me a screen capture, and yeah, that was hilarious. But it was that, and then our good friend Archie Luxury, other friend of the show, he's been doing his live streams again, and I jumped in just to say hello to everybody, and they were trying to get me under the Scottish Watches guys to come onto a live stream along with Clive and a few other folks. I think Mark Goldberg was in there, the dog trainer guy, and it was too late, and I thought no, I need to mentally prepare for that kind of stuff, so I didn't do that. But Archie then dropped a video out. It was apparently a brand new Tudor Black Shield Fast Rider ceramic, the same watch I've got. Mine came in leather, this was on rubber, but the comment section caught fire because he made a couple of boo-boos saying it was PVD, not ceramic, and I think there was mention that the date adjuster was a helium escape valve, and just general things like that you don't really want to get wrong. But
easy done for a man that owns 7 Pateks.
That's it. Is it 7 or 17? I can't remember.
Oh, I have no idea.
Can't keep a track of it.
Be different tomorrow.
Interesting video, and then obviously people messaged me and shared it and said, you've got this watch, is this all shit? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much. So there we go. Barnes is a good lad.
Cool.
So we might actually end up on one of his live streams. That would be quite cataclysmic, I think would be the word to describe that.
Yes, rather you than me.
Are you looking for a job?
No.
No?
No, I'm trying to do as little as possible. Can you not tell?
I can tell.
Does it pay well?
I don't know. I haven't really looked. But it turns out Roger Smith over in Isle of Man is looking for a YTS.
Oh, there'll be no tax, so that's fine. I'll take that job.
Have you got enough magnets?
I was going to say, are you going to let me? I've ordered some. I'll tell you what I have done. I've ordered some micro screwdrivers from the internet. Do you think that count? If I take my new toolbox over, say, Roger, my brand new screwdrivers.
You going to show Roger your new tool? I don't know. Anyway, Roger Smith.
Yes.
Infamous guy from Manchester.
Something's never changed.
Anyway, Roger Smith, over in Isle of Man.
Roger Smith's got a job going.
He's got a job going. Yeah, so if you're interested, I don't know, was it making the tea or something? I can't remember what the job was. You know more about this than I do.
Well, I mean, he's only ever made one watch, which he just carries around really quickly showing to everybody. So I'm not sure what he's going to recruit a person to do other than make the tea and, you know, polish his screwdrivers, because there's no watchmaking going on there, Roger. I'm sorry, Roger, I don't believe that you make watches. I believe you make one really, really, really good watch, and you just
did he make the Zenith Inventor?
Come on here, Roger, and we'll have a row about it.
Shocking. We actually want to get him in the
podcast.
Should we
ask Roger if he wants to come on?
No, he will. I think
we do. I'm only jesting, Roger. Obviously, you make lots of watches, but you don't make lots of watches. You've made like four, maybe. Mm-hmm. Half a dozen. We'll compromise that you've made half a dozen watches. I mean, is it just because you're not very good? Do you need like?
He procrastinates a lot, I think.
He just gets distracted listening to our podcast. Are we the problem?
Yeah.
Are we the problem? We're distracted. He's listened to 150 hours of us gassing, and therefore isn't getting any work done.
Yeah, something like that. I believe that's the case.
Right. Okay.
I would like to go and see Roger at work. One of the days he's actually at work doing work, and I'd like to go across there. Maybe around about the time they've got the Isle of Man TT on, because then I can kill two birds with one stone. That'd be good.
Kill two birds with one stone, is that? Well, maybe not. Maybe you don't kill anything.
Why?
It's already... That's a danger. That's a scary race. Have you ever taken part? You've presumed...
Have I ever taken part?
You can't just, of
course.
You can't just, like, picture... You can't, like, I mean, the last time you took a part in a street race, it ended up you losing parts of your anatomy. But less about that, the better. But you can't just pitch up and do these things.
It's not like the Tour de France where you just turn up with a bike and join in.
Aye, because in the Tour de France, there's like a race the day after, or is it the day before, whereby you can just turn up with your bike and cycle the course. Presumably that doesn't exist in the Isle of Man TT. I've read Thingy's biography. Who's your boy from Hull?
Here we go.
Your Yorkshire
boy.
Let's
have a guess of who we're speaking about here, even though I know from the off. Come on, Rick.
Your Yorkshire boy. Oh, he's a
guy
Volvo
likes his tea
in
his transits.
Guy, that's it. Guy. Martin.
Martin.
Yes,
well
Guy
done,
Martin.
Rick.
We should get him on the show.
There's a guy that's fallen on his head a few times.
It's a scary looking race. I mean, how can you do that? It's just too... it's unbelievable. Don't do that, kids. Don't take drugs and don't do the Isle of Man TT.
Although, it's strange. If you happen to own Pateks and you have children, Do the Eleman TT.
It's the only way they're getting them.
Yes.
So you've never been. Have you ever been to a road race, a bike road race?
No, because I believe that going to a bike road race, perhaps apart from the TT, it would be boring as hell.
They tried to get one started round here, around my neck of the woods.
No, they have that around your neck of the woods all the time. That's kind of underground.
It's called the A77. It's called the A77. They generally tried to get one round here, but the Scottish government doesn't have control of the speed limits, so they can't cancel them for the duration of the event.
The only thing the Scottish government have got control over is telling you to stay in your bloody house, apparently. they seem to have nothing else. Nothing at all. No control of your own country and what happens within the EU or the UK, but you're staying in your house. Anyway, no. TT, I think it would be fun for the atmosphere, but literally you'd be stood there and all you would see would be a flash and all you'd hear would be, nyong! That'd be it. Done.
Yeah.
Go home. Anyway, is that a show, Rick? Right. Is that a show?
That's a show. Let's make like those motorbikes and leave. No, it's make like
make like
tree
a tree and leave. Well done, Biff.
Anyway, right.
Are you sitting in your pew?
I am.
I'm not going to repeat the joke that I hit everyone with at the end of our Zoom call, because that would not be a good joke.
Okay, that's fine. Let's leave it at that. Okay. Right, check us out all the usual places. There's new videos dropping. We're attempting to do a new segment, which will be on video. You might come across that.
Maybe.
But if you want to see the tests of that,
no.
Because we'll probably test it out a couple
don't
of times.
Put the tests
then
up.
Not the tests we've already done. Future tests will be on the Scottish Watches podcast channel.
On YouTube. It's
different from the main channel on YouTube. So at the moment, there's only 45 subscribers.
Good.
So
keep it that way.
It just feels a bit like clockbait, only sitting there with 45 subscribers. Ba-boom-tsh. So why wasn't they put the boot into them? Anyway, we'll catch up.
Have they done anything recently for us to put the boot into?
I don't actually know. No, it was Dan that's sorting out the suspension in his Mustang, isn't it? I think I saw Adrian. No, Adam. What's the one with your Rolex called?
What?
There's two of them, and one of them's got a Batman GMT. Deck or Ant?
Anthony and Luke.
Right, okay. It's whatever one it is. He's got. I saw he was doing something with his Mercedes.
This bit's getting cut out anyway.
Mercedes. Okay, that's fine. Right. Okay. Anyway, it's goodbye from me.
It's not goodbye from anyone. We're going to tell people to go to the website and read all the cool articles because our writer group is on fire. I've said this before in this podcast,
awesome. And
it is true. Sophie, Dave, Ralph, the other guys, Philo, that guy,
Philo.
Philofax, he is great. His stuff is jamming.
Go with the facts.
Yeah.
And Edwin, don't forget about Edwin.
Listen, we bummed Edwin up enough, right? People have already heard
about him. Honestly say, I reckon that the articles on our website are better than any articles on any other website.
Apart from the ones that you edit, yes.
Yeah, okay.
What was it? You did the show notes for the Blog to Watch, part 3, and even in the first paragraph, I had to go in and change it.
Okay, no, giving you work to do.
I wasn't even meant to. I just scanned it to drop in the actual MP3 file and saw this. Oh man, you were off your meds. Anyway, so check out the website. Loads of cool stuff. Edwin's stuff is really good. We've got stuff from Dave. We've got all these other folks. Anytime there's some new stuff happening, one of our guys is on the money with the reporting of it. Plus there's watch reviews, questions and answers. Sophie did a Q&A session with the head honcho at Zenit. So hopefully we will get him on the show and we will not give him a hard time promise about anything that we may have put deposits on 2 years ago. So yep, check out the website, check out Instagram. We're over 10,000 followers, which is amazing. But obviously we want to keep growing and spread the word. The memes on there seem to do better than the actual news pieces. So if you like your watch memes, check it out. There's always some good stuff. And obviously get into Facebook group and like your page as well. And that is about it, Rick.
Okay. Tie bye. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Bye bye. Oh.